Hi, everybody. I'm Len Wells. It's time now for the news from the Steve Thompson Country Financial News Desk. Steve Thompson, your country financial representative, located on the square in West Salem. Area rivers have finally crested and are starting a slow fall in the wake of very heavy rains over the past 2 weeks. On the Little Wabash River east of Fairfield, the stage Sunday evening was 26.25 feet, and it's slowly falling. On the Little Wabash River at Carmyre, the stage Sunday, 33.33, more than 6 feet above flood stage. The river crested Sunday and is expected to fall to the 27-feet flood stage sometime around the 11th of March. On the Big Wabash River at Mount Carmel, the stage Sunday evening was 29.58 feet, which is more than 10 feet above flood stage. The river did crest over the weekend and is expected to fall to the 19-feet flood stage by around the 12th of March. While rain is likely later today, no major rain event is in the immediate forecast. Meanwhile, colder weather is on the way. In fact, frost is expected Wednesday night and Thursday night, with low temperatures dipping into the 20s. More news after this.
There are any number of ways to create a fitting farewell to a loved one lost. We can help you decide which one is right for your family.
We talked a lot about what kind of ceremony to have.
I think we made the right choice.
A full range of funeral services, all delivered with sensitivity, compassion, and respect.
Nails Funeral Homes in Fairfield and Albion.
Are you tired of heavy menstrual cycles? There's nothing normal about heavy bleeding. What if you could undergo an office procedure to stop your heavy bleeding and return to work in just days? Ask the doctors at Asbury & Associates about NovaSure Ablation. This non-invasive procedure is performed in our office, reducing costs for our patients. Here's Dr. David Asbury.
This helps to avoid hysterectomy, and at many times they can have the procedure done on a Friday afternoon in the office and be back to work on Monday morning with no problem, with minimal pain. It will oftentimes eliminate the need of needing a hysterectomy or more extensive surgical procedures in the hospital, and thus not only get them back to taking care of their children and back to work, back to their lives, but also save them a large amount of money.
NovaSure, a quick, safe, and simple procedure to correct your heavy cycles and restart your life. Asbury & Associates, with four locations in Southern Illinois to serve you. Call 618-244-4800 to schedule an appointment.
It has been more than 10 years since police discovered the first murder victim linked to suspected serial killer Bruce D. Mendenhall of Albion. The long-haul driver, dubbed as the truck stop killer, is now serving two life sentences in a Tennessee prison. The first sentence was for the shooting death of Sarah Nicole Hulbert. Her body was found stuffed in a trash bin at a truck stop in Nashville, Tennessee. Mendenhall was handed his second life sentence this past Friday for the shooting death of Samantha D. Winters of Wilson County, Tennessee. Her body was found discarded at a truck stop near Lebanon, Tennessee. Jurors deliberated barely an hour before finding Mendenhall guilty. The judge immediately imposed a life sentence and set an April sentencing date for a related conviction for the offense of abuse of a corpse. As Mendenhall serves his life sentence at the maximum security River Bend prison near Nashville, Tennessee, prosecutors are preparing for his next trial. It is expected to be in Indianapolis, Indiana, for the slaying of Karma Purpura. Police say Mendenhall told them he killed a woman he picked up at an Indianapolis truck stop July 11, 2007, and dumped her body in a trash bin near a Hardee's restaurant on Harding Street, just south of Interstate 465. Well, initially, police searched that trash bin and others at the nearby Flying J and Pilot truck stops, but found nothing. But then on August 15, 2011, Purpura's body was found along the Louis B. Nunn Parkway in Barron County, Kentucky. She would have been 35 years old at the time. In the cab of Mendenhall's truck when he was arrested for the Hulbert murder, police found blood-soaked clothing, a cell phone, and an ATM card belonging to Karma Purpura. Mendenhall is then expected to stand trial for the July 1, 2007 shooting death of Lucille Gretna Carter, 44, of Birmingham, Alabama. Investigators say she was shot with a .22 caliber weapon, her body dumped nude next to a trash bin on a service road. She was found with plastic bag over her head and duct tape around her neck. Authorities have stated that evidence is strong in the Carter slaying, including surveillance video from a nearby auto parts store that shows the truck assigned to Bruce Mendenhall leaving the spot where Carter's body was found, and witnesses who can identify the truck being in the area. Authorities also confirmed that Bruce Mendenhall remains a suspect in at least two other deaths, including one in Lake Station, Indiana. In addition to two life sentences for first-degree murder, Mendenhall has also been sentenced to an additional 30 years in prison for trying to hire two fellow inmates to kill witnesses in the Sarah Nicole Hulbert murder case. This past Friday, the Mount Carmel City Police Department were notified of a 17-year-old female that was being treated for a possible drug overdose. During the course of the investigation, it was discovered the girl may have taken a narcotic in a form similar to a gummy bear candy. Police continued their investigation and were able to locate the individual who said to have provided the teen with the gummy. The individual was a 16-year-old juvenile who has also been treated for ingesting the gummy candy. The 16-year-old now faces a charge of being in possession of a controlled substance and has been released to a guardian. The gummies are being sent off to the Illinois State Police Crime Lab for analysis. Only then will authorities know what chemical and narcotic compounds were used to make the drug. Police said at this time they have no reason to believe that the drug is commonly referred to as Flaca, as reported in social media. Further testing is needed to confirm the actual drug used in making these gummies. The investigation is ongoing and more arrests could be made, police said. A second arrest was made in relation to that investigation. Police arrested 18-year-old Jacob E. Molstad of Mount Carmel after he was stopped by police in the area of 9th and Market Street in Mount Carmel. Police located prescription pills in the vehicle, placed him under arrest. Molstad was taken to the Wabash County Jail, where he faces a charge of possession of a controlled substance and delivery of a controlled substance while on school property. Molstad is being held in the Wabash County Jail pending the setting of bond. Now, the Mount Carmel Police Department says they take these complaints very seriously, as does the high school District 348. Officials encourage parents to look through their students' book bags, phones, and tablets. Also, if a student has a tip on narcotics or any other illegal drug activity at the Mount Carmel High School, you're asked to call their Crime Stopper number, which is 262-HALT. The Jefferson County Sheriff's Department has announced the arrest of a 13-year-old boy who threatened on social media to shoot up his grade school located in rural Jefferson County. This happened Monday. Chief Deputy Clint Taylor says after learning of the threat, they took the threat quite seriously and immediately began an investigation. By late Saturday night, they had the juvenile in custody. He now faces a Class X felony charge of terroristic threatening. He's being held in the Franklin County Juvenile Detention Center pending a first court appearance. More news after this.
Raise.NewShop has a selection of bookshelves, tables, beds, and even a desk. Raise Mowing and Backhoe Service will take care of your gravel needs, along with water, sewer, and electrical line trenching. They even have a boring machine to go under driveways or sidewalks. They also have good compost dirt that is great for leveling yards or building up your garden. They will deliver it, or you can haul it as the weather allows. Raise offers road tilling and driveway tilling to smooth out those spots for residential and for townships. Raise has American steel carports, storage buildings, and A-frame style garages in various sizes and colors. Only 10% down when ordered and a payment in full when installed, and these buildings are engineered, certified to meet state codes. Raise Rental now has a two-bedroom house for rent, no pets allowed. Call 516-1602.
The Fairfield Community High School varsity scholastic team placed in the top six of the Class 2A State Masonic Tournament Saturday. Fairfield went 1-3 in pool play in the morning rounds. Fairfield defeated St. Bede's Academy and was narrowly edged out by Coal City. They also lost to Piasaw and Chicago Latin Schools. Answering toss-ups for Fairfield were Sam Beach with a dozen, Chloe Hodges with two, Amber Clark one. Also participating for Fairfield were Gary Harris, Tyler Hooper, Ethan Kakak, Cody Gothrop, Cassidy Hayes, Hannah Odom, and Cody Todd. Fairfield moves to 44-17 on the year. They'll be back in action on Monday, later today, at the IHSA Regional Tournament in Fairfield. They'll play Vandalia in the opening round. Carmine native Luke Saylor has been named the Illinois Department of Agriculture's Division Manager of Fair and Promotional Services. A resident of Chatham, Illinois, previously served as Assistant Illinois State Fair Manager. In addition to the State Fair in Springfield, the division manages the DuCoin State Fair. Saylor succeeds Kevin Gordon, who retired after leading the fair in 2016 and 17. Agriculture Director Raymond Poe says the management experience that Saylor gained as assistant state fair manager and his Southern Illinois agricultural background makes for a winning combination. Saylor is the fourth state fair manager in just 3 years. Fairfield Police Association will be hosting their 17th annual 3-on-3 basketball tournament with the help of the Fairfield Lady Mules basketball team. The dates for the tournament have been set for Friday night, March 9th, for the 6 feet and under, and Saturday morning, the 10th, for the open class. You have to be high school age or older to play. The entry fee is $50 per team of 3 or 4 players. Entry forms can be picked up at the Fairfield Police Department. Forms and entry fees must be returned to the police station no later than today. The Greater Fairfield Area Chamber of Commerce, along with Born Again Nail and Waxing Salon, have announced plans for a ribbon-cutting ceremony to celebrate their grand opening. The ceremony will take place this Tuesday afternoon at 3:30 p.m. The new salon is located at 108 Southeast 3rd in Fairfield. Fairfield Travelog program is continuing its run of adventures this month. The next program will be this Thursday, Exploration of the Colorado River, presented by Gray Warner. The film follows the 1869 exploration of the deep canyons of the Colorado and Green Rivers by Major John Wesley Powell, a Civil War veteran. Although being warned by prospectors and Indian legends about the hazards awaiting, Powell and 9 men set out in 4 wooden boats on what would become the last great expedition of discovery in the United States. A returning favorite to the series, Warner is an independent producer of documentaries and travelogues, working as a cameraman, director, and producer. He's won more than 80 awards for film excellence, including Eastman Kodak's Award for Best Film. The Fairfield Travelogues are being sponsored, of course, by the Fairfield Rotary Club and the Wayne County Farm Bureau. These programs, of course, will be presented at the First Baptist Church at 308 South 1st Street in Fairfield starting at 7:15 p.m. Season tickets are $30 and can be purchased at the offices of McDowell, Kinchlow, and Jessup or at the Wayne County Farm Bureau. Crude oil prices closed up a dab on Friday. Local refineries raised their offering a quarter a barrel today. They're paying $54.25 per barrel. In local and area deaths, 84-year-old Fairfield resident Robert S. Bob Redfern died at 1:15 Saturday afternoon at his home. He had been a businessman and operated Redfern Wholesale for many years. He was a member of the American Legion and VFW, was president of the Illinois Forum, was a former state committeeman of the Republican Party for the Congressional District No. 22, and was a former vice chairman of the Republican Party for the state of Illinois. He was Presbyterian by faith. Survivors include his wife Joyce Redfern of Fairfield, a son Robert S. and wife Gail Redfern Jr. of Columbia, South Carolina, a daughter Pam and husband David Bell of Lake Mary, Florida, and Sharps Chapel, Tennessee, a sister Patty Ewing of Fairfield, 3 grandchildren and 1 great-grandchild. Funeral services for Bob Redfern will be 1 o'clock this Wednesday afternoon, 1 p.m. Wednesday at Nails Funeral Home in Fairfield with burial at Maple Hill Cemetery. Visitation will be 11 o'clock Wednesday morning till the time of service at Nails in Fairfield. 102-year-old Fairfield resident Bertha Blackford died Thursday at Fairfield Memorial Hospital Skilled Care Unit. She'd worked at Airtex for over 30 years, was a quilt maker, seamstress, housewife, and had worked on the family farm, was a member of the Ellen Moore United Methodist Church, where she was a member of the church choir, did special singing for funerals, led the MYF, and taught Bible school. She also attended many other churches and led singing at the Mill Shoals Methodist Church for many years. She was also a member of Eastern Star, Modern, Woodman of America, Royal Neighbors, and was a 4-H leader. She had made her home with her daughter Vivian for several years before going to skill care in 2011. Survivors include a daughter Vivian Blackford of Fairfield, a daughter-in-law Doris McClary Blackford of Fairfield, grandchildren Rodney and wife Dixie Blackford, Anne Marie and husband Mark York, Marla and husband Bill Wilkins, Lisa Cook Coalfield, Tina Cook, great-grandchildren Andrew Wilkins, Jackie Barr, Denise Boswell, John Boswell, Jesse York, Chris York, Kenny Blackford, Amy Butts, and Amelia Coalfield, and several great-great-grandchildren, and a brother, Robert, and wife Wilma Litzenberger of Fairfield. Services for Bertha Blackford will be this Tuesday, 2 p.m. at Johnson and Vaughn Funeral Home in Fairfield with burial in Burnt Prairie Cemetery. Visitation will be tonight, 5 until 7, at Johnson and Vaughn in Fairfield. Memorials may be made to the Ellen Moore United Methodist Church or the Victory Outreach Church and will be accepted at Johnson and Vaughn in Fairfield. 73-year-old McLeansboro resident Johnny Lee Brockett died Friday morning at his home. He had been a laborer for CSX Railroad. Survivors include 2 daughters, Andrea Cantrell and husband Doug of McLeansboro, and April Brockett and fiancé Travis Green of McLeansboro, son Alan Brockett of O'Fallon, Illinois, 3 grandchildren, Justin Cantrell and wife Cecia of Mount Vernon, Illinois, Jonathan Cantrell of Salt Lake City, Utah, and Madeline Cantrell of McLeansboro, two great grandchildren, Makena Grace and Chase Cantrell, a sister, Jane Futrell, and husband Larry of McLeansboro, two nephews, a number of cousins, and two cats, Cookie and Blackie. Services for Johnny Lee Brockett will be 11 o'clock Tuesday morning at the Harry Funeral Home in McLeansboro, with burial in Braden Valley Cemetery at Dale. Visitation will be tonight, 6 till 8, at the Harry Funeral Home in McLeansboro. 78-year-old Belle Prairie, Illinois resident William T. Roast died at 10:35 Wednesday evening at Hamilton Memorial Hospital in McLeansboro. He'd worked as a machinist for Caterpillar in Joliet, a U.S. Navy veteran. He served during the Vietnam era, was a member of St. John the Baptist Catholic Church in Piopolis. Survivors include his wife Sandra L. Roast of Belle Prairie, a son, William Anthony Tony Roast, and wife Tina, a stepdaughter Megan Link, and husband Levi, and a sister Dora Mae Smith of McLeansboro. Services for William T. Roast will be 10 o'clock Wednesday morning at St. John Baptist Catholic Church in Piopolis, with burial in St. John's Cemetery at Piopolis, with military honors conducted by the American Legion Post 106 and a Navy honor team. Visitation will be 6 to 8 Tuesday evening at the Harry Funeral Home in McLeansboro, with a prayer service at 7 p.m. The Harry Funeral Home of McLeansboro is in charge of all the arrangements. If you missed any of today's obituaries, click on our website at WFIWradio.com. Our obituary page is updated throughout the day. Reporting for WFIW News, I'm Len Wells.
As one of the board-certified mammography technologists at Fairfield Memorial Hospital, I, Rhonda Grinnells, am pleased to announce that you can now schedule your 3D mammography on a Saturday. Fairfield Memorial Hospital strives to provide patients with convenient health care. Schedule your screening 3D mammogram on a Saturday at Fairfield Memorial Hospital or at Egyptian Health Department in Carmi on the first Saturday of each month. You can schedule your appointment today by calling 847-8249. Fairfield Memorial Hospital is dedicated to delivering convenient access to 3D imaging, which has been proven to be life-saving for our patients through early detection. Our 3D images are clearer because of our ability to peel back the image layer by layer to reveal any abnormalities that could be of concern. As a proud member of an organization that consistently upgrades technology and enhances services to bring the absolute best to those we serve, I look forward to serving those who choose Fairfield Memorial Hospital for all their 3D mammography needs.
Time for a Monday check of sports. Jordan Hosek of Sisney is headed to state in the country financial three-point showdown. Hosek qualified out of the Class 1A Mowiqua Central A&M sectional. C.J. Richardson of NCOE and Blake McKay of Woodlawn advanced out of the Hardin County sectional. In Class 2A, Brayton Peterson of Mount Carmel was the only area player to advance to state. College baseball from Saturday. Frontier takes a pair of games from Morton College, 5-4 in Game 1, 9-6 in Game 2. College softball on Saturday. FCC splits a pair of games with St. Charles Community College. St. Charles won Game 1, 3-1, and FCC won Game 2, 12-7. Danielle Barzewski was the winning pitcher. On Sunday, Rinley swept a doubleheader from Frontier, 6-1 and 11-0 with the finals. Major League Baseball action from yesterday. Houston over the Cardinals, 4-1. Padres, 7. White Sox, 6. Arizona over the Cubs, 2-0. In the NHL, Anaheim beat the Blackhawks 6-3, and in the NBA, Pacers over Washington 98-93. On the schedule today, in college baseball, Frontier is at St. Charles Community College for a doubleheader. Major League Baseball, Cardinals take on Washington, White Sox versus Oakland, and the Cubs take on Colorado, rather. And in the NBA, Pacers host Milwaukee Bulls at home against Boston tonight. That's a check of sports. Ninety percent chance of showers today with a high 48. Clearing tonight, low 35. Mostly sunny, high 55. Tomorrow for Wednesday, cloudy skies, high 40. Sunshine on Thursday with a high 42. And for Friday, morning showers with a high 48.